Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Who wants cream? Nobody? Okay, no cream.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Guys, we've made a great effort so far. Let's just keep it up.
That's right! We can't have anyone freak out there, okay? We've got to keep our composure! We've got too far! There's too much to lose! We've got to keep our composure!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
A lot of pressure. You got to rise above it. Mm-hmm. You got to harness in the good energy, block out the bad. Harness, energy, block, bad. Mm-hmm. Feel the flow, happy. Feel it. It's circular.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, guys. Oh, big gulps, huh? All right. Well, see you later.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. If you missed the first 2 hours, check it out, 1080thefan.com, the Les Schwab Tires podcast. We teased it last segment, just missed him, so we got him this time. The new coach of Oregon State's baseball team, Mitch Canham. He joins us now here in Portland. Mitch, congratulations, first of all, to you and to everybody in your life on such a huge accomplishment of coming back and coaching the Beavs. I just kind of want to catch people up, though. For those that may have lost track of what transpired once you left Oregon State, walk us through how you got to this point in your life.
Ooh, a lot of learning opportunities. Thanks for having me on. Played 9 years professional baseball, jumping all around. Went to from the Padres to the A's to the Royals to the Rockies, the Cardinals, the Nationals, and played independent ball in a few stretches, but as soon as that was over, I got a phone call. Actually, before that was over, I started getting phone calls saying, hey, are you interested in coaching? You're interested in coaching. And the more phone calls I got in that realm, I started to realize, maybe I'm not playing as good as I used to. Jumped in. I was very fortunate. Andy McKay, who was actually my summer baseball coach up in the Alaskan League in 05, called me and said, hey, would you like to be coach for the Seattle Mariners? And, you know, being from the Northwest, I've called the Mariners every year as a free agent. They never returned my phone calls in circumstances. And then, and Andy even told me a long time ago, he goes, see that guy over there? And I, yeah, he goes, he's going to be a big leaguer. You're going to be a great coach. And, I said, okay. So, you know, just having the opportunity to manage professional baseball these last 4 years has been incredible learning experience, and the Mariners organization, they're doing amazing things right now with the people they're bringing in and how much they care about the person and the athlete.
So your first reaction, because I'm trying to put myself in your shoes here just very briefly on what you just told me of, you're playing pro ball, you're fighting hard, you still want to get to the show, you obviously want a long, lengthy career, as every player does. And through this journey, kind of at the end, people are starting to call you about coaching, and you think, oh, God, is this reflective of me as a player? The first few calls, well, did you think, oh, my, screw you guys, I'm still playing, I'm not giving this up? Or did it click automatically in your mind of, well, maybe this is it for me?
Well, I've had a lot of surgeries playing. I spent a lot of time in the training room, had both my shoulders operated on, my left knee, my wrist, you know, my forearm. And then, so it's been quite a bit, and it was, you know, not always easy to get out of bed with, you know, the hips and the knees and everything. And, and also, you know, I didn't learn things, a few things about the game until it was too late. Mm-hmm. I've started attending the, ABCA, coaches convention since 2012, been going there, trying to learn as much as possible. You know, so really developing the growth mindset about how to communicate, how to acquire new skills. What, you know, it's always been important to me, the people, not just the athlete. And I saw it in professional baseball when I first started to play, it was more so evaluating and, you know, moving guys that had production. But the great thing about the Mariners and what it's transitioning to now is the holistic approach. And, you know, that's what we're also trying to accomplish here, you know, in our program, is going to be taking care of the student, the athlete, and, you know, the man, and trying to develop that person into someone who's going to be successful both in and out of the uniform.
Yeah. Mitch Canham is our guest, the new coach for Oregon State Baseball. Pat Casey, Pat Bailey, and now Mitch Canham leading Oregon State going into next year. Did you ever, growing up at any point, whether that was playing at Oregon State or maybe early, did you ever have any idea that you wanted to be a coach? Was this something you discovered about yourself later on? Was it something maybe you just, oh, I'll do this until I find my next thing? How did you come about just kind of just wanting to be a coach, having that desire?
Well, I learned it from watching others as well. My younger brother, after he passed away, I reflected a lot about it. And my dad and my mom as well, you know, and my older brother. I mean, as I think about them, they all gave to other people. They served others. They were givers. And, you know, I stepped back and looked at it after I lost my younger brother, and I said, I want to be more like him. I want to give to other people, and that goes with time. You know, not just financially, but give my time and pour into them, help them achieve their dreams. And just so happens through baseball, it's something that, you know, I care deeply about, but I care about the people. And this is a great way, because each student athlete, each professional athlete has a platform, and, you know, through their successes and their failures, you know, provides them opportunity to deliver the message, to show, to lead by example, to stand back up when you fall down, and to also stay humble when you're doing extremely well. And it's just been, you know, this is the calling that God has provided, and I want to do this for him and fulfill it in his way.
Yeah. Your name got thrown out there at the beginning. One of our better listeners, Joey Wong, obviously a former teammate there. He's been backing you. He's doing the hashtag Canham for coach, etc. A lot of people throwing your name out there, and obviously you had the Yeskies and the Baileys still there. When you actually decided, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to put my name and I'm going to see if I have a chance here, could you just walk us through what that meeting was like from the nerves perspective of you walking in to potentially coach your former team, your alma mater, and then just kind of, what is the plan? What do you tell Scott Barnes? What do you tell the administration of Oregon State of why you're the right guy for this job right now?
Well, I feel like, looking back, I mean, you have little butterflies and stuff, but they're great butterflies. And really sitting down and talking with my wife, and she put a note in my bag before I took off, you know, to go interview. And it reassured me. It said, you know, just be you and let the passion and the love you have for those people and the university and the program, let it show. And continue to remain humble. And what are you here for? To serve others. So go out and do that. And this is a great opportunity. And no matter what happens, you know, you're putting your best foot forward. And the other people that are involved, they're all tremendous human beings and coaches and leaders. And, you know, this is just like, there's nothing to feel pressure about, because pressure is only put on by yourself. There's always going to be tons of different opinions and perspectives on things, but, you know, you stay true to what you believe in and do it with, as long as you prepare and do it with your heart, and then I don't think that you can fail.
Yeah. Mitch Canham is our guest, the new coach of Oregon State Baseball. It feels like it was just yesterday to me. I started going to OSU your last year there, and I got to see a couple of those games, and you guys repeating was still such an awesome sight to see. Did it ever blow your mind walking out there now? And I know you had a press conference today, walking onto the field at some point, knowing you're the coach, knowing that was so long ago that you guys were just college kids going out there trying to prove to the world that you knew how to play baseball out in Oregon.
Yeah, those were amazing times. In the clubhouse, in the cages late night, you know, spending time with each other on campus, off campus. And you know, the memories definitely flooded back, standing on home plate today and getting to put on the uniform. And, you know, it all hasn't truly sunk in yet, but I am excited to get back and meet with, you know, the players and to meet with the staff and to meet with the administration and the faculty representatives and everyone and really, you know, the plans and the vision I have for this is to, you know, get it out there. It's one thing to think about it, but we gotta write about it, we gotta talk about it, and we really gotta act on it and stay consistent with what we're doing. And I think that's a good plan to move forward.
Right. I saw a report about Yeski and Bailey. I don't know what's real, what's not, et cetera. I saw this is your dream job, but you're familiar, obviously, with some of the people on this staff. Do you know who's going to be on the staff quite yet? Are you able to keep a couple of those guys? We know Pat's going to be around as an administrator, so that's obviously going to be beneficial, I think, for you. Do you know if you're going to be able to keep Yeski and Bailey?
The big thing is, and I love those guys. I love them to death. I've had a great relationship with all the coaches, you know, on a personal level and watching what they've been doing, you know, to mentor the student athletes has been phenomenal. You won't find, you know, better coaches out there. And as soon as I got the position, the number one thing I want to take care of is communicating with the staff and then, you know, reaching out to our players. And you know, it's important that they understand who I am and trust me and their families, because I'm going to be leading, you know, taking care of them, and their parents need to know that. And so it's first thing to do on my list. I just go since then and since yesterday when it was announced, and I'm gonna find those answers real soon.
Yeah. New head coach for Oregon State Baseball, Mitch Canham, former catcher for the Beavs, won back-to-back national championships. Congratulations, dude. Seriously, I saw that you said this is your dream job. That is awesome. That's all people want in their lives is to accomplish their dream job and get that opportunity. You got that. Beaver Nation, I'm sure, is all behind you. This is a great day for you, your family, and the fans down in Corvallis. And don't be afraid, Mitch, to bust out those two rings and maybe wear them once your players are back-talking you a little bit and tell them you know what you're doing.
You got to stay humble. Got to stay humble and keep working.
Absolutely. We'll talk with you next season once things get going and catch up.
Thank you, Brandon.
All right, there we go. Great stuff from Mitch Canham, the new coach for Oregon State Baseball. Gets his dream job. That's what he called it at his press conference. I believe him 100%. That dude was one of the more passionate, fiery guys Oregon State's ever seen, meant so much to their title-winning teams and just the impact he created. Now you just hope that it can work out perfectly for him. You never want to see a guy's dream job not end up being a dream. You want to see him accomplish everything that he's after there. So congratulations to Mitch Canham coming back to Corvallis and getting the head baseball coaching job. All right, I got a science tease for you. We do this somewhat often, and it actually is similar to something else that we do. And I had no clue about this. And Swag has no idea what it is. It's a science fact that I found out this morning. I'm going to give you that tease. We got Sprague and Line coming up, a U.S. Open update, and maybe a little more finals. That's next on 1080 The Fan. Our thanks again to Mitch Canham for joining us. I have to go down there, and I never got to meet him. I had just gotten to Corvallis because I took about a year and a half off out of high school. And when I got there, obviously the 06 season had transpired and I was there for the tail end of that school year, but I didn't go to Oregon State till 07. And so I went to a couple of those games, got to see him play, and watching that in the summertime, it was wild to see them win the national championship two times in a row.
Yeah, it was cool. Trying to remember where it was, but I went down there and covered some of the regionals, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Back when
a lot of people didn't think they should have hosted a regional. They were like, well, this season really wasn't as great. And
well, it was the first year they were, you know, they had lost Ellsbury, but they had almost everybody else back, so they were expected. But it was the 07 year when they were the last team in almost to the tournament. That they went on that miraculous run.
Okay, so I feel like I've teased this twice. So
yeah, let me get your science fact.
People are probably going to get mad because this is going to either be the dumbest thing I've ever shared.
Yeah, there's a potential for a giant letdown here.
Oh, absolutely. I would probably put the odd swag at about 79%. I'm going to let you down with this science fact. So I walk into work today. I'm saying hi to a few people, a few coworkers, and we're talking. And right in the middle of talking, I sneeze really hard. I'm a hard sneezer.
Yes.
I'm loud sometimes. And I sneeze twice. And somebody goes, oh, God bless you. I said, oh, thank you. And right before I get back into our conversation, one of our other coworkers comes in and goes, hey, congratulations on your orgasm. I said, what? Like, where's this coming from? They go, when you sneeze, it's 1/8 the feeling of an orgasm. So if you sneeze 8 times, it's the same feeling. I said, that doesn't seem right.
That doesn't sound right.
To which another coworker, unsolicited, much older, walked by, said, oh yeah, they're absolutely right. That's a real thing. It's 1/8 the feeling.
As someone who has had
many
will
of both,
have sneezing fits,
yeah,
it does not come close. I have sneezed 10, 12 times in a row.
And
I don't know where it comes from. And I was not ready to smoke a cigarette when I was done.
I'm just telling you science facts, man. I don't know why you're attacking me on this. I didn't make this up. This is science. This is preordained. It's done.
No, not buying it.
Are you?
No, I used to get that.
I'm trying to think of how I want to word this.
Yeah, carefully, please.
Well, I'm more curious of one, because I've thought about when I sneeze, I usually sneeze 2 or 3 times. I never just sneeze once. When I'm done sneezing, though, I see what she is saying. I can understand what she means by it scientifically is 1/8 of that feeling. There is a like brief right after it's done and your body's not, you know, whatever you call that, just shaking around with a sneeze. Right as you just get back into your routine, there's that brief moment of like, I felt great.
No,
and it's 1/8.
Wow.
So I don't know if I'm buying that you've sneezed more than 8 times and haven't felt a certain way.
Oh, I will have a fit and it'll be nonstop. I cannot shake just being done sneezing. It used to happen in the mornings when I would first get up and start getting ready, and I don't know what it was, but yeah, 6, 7, 8 times in a row.
Okay, so this is a medium.com. Is that a well-known website?
I never heard of it, but
okay. Well, I don't know.
But that's me.
Okay, here we go. Livescience.com.
Okay.
On the idea that is sneezing really like an orgasm? And this one said, if sneezing were really like an orgasm, pushers would deal black market sneeze pepper. And yeah, okay. So this is saying the fact that neither scenario occurs suggests that this myth isn't worth the price of a tissue. Neither is the popular variant that says that sneezing a certain number of times will bring on an orgasm.
Yeah.
So
that I can verify.
This website is saying fake news.
Yes.
Connections do exist, however.
Now, there might be some what is going on inside your body with nerves or blood going places might be of a similar fashion, but the sensation, I can guarantee you, is not the same.
Doctors suspect that the phenomenon might arise from a case of crossed wires in the autonomic nervous system, which regulates a number of automatic functions in the body, including waking up, the genitals during arousal. So of similar nature of your body, that feeling when you start to stand tall, or for the ladies, the water starts running, whatever you want to say, that feeling that your body has to get to that point is what they're saying is like sneezing. Your body needs it, so your body in that sense is very similar.
No, the only thing I know about sneezing...
I'm really upset by this, by the way, because I thought this was a real thing. I was then going to go home and talk about this. I thought I'd prove you wrong on the show live, just like I did with the oxygen periodic table situation. And now I'm nothing but disappointed.
No.
Okay. Well,
sorry.
we had it for a minute. I mean, we had for that brief moment, we had all felt like, yes, something that gets us close to that feeling without actually doing that and being creepy.
No.
Damn it.
Sorry.
This is Ashley's fault. I'm blaming nobody else. Dickard says, if this were true, then I wouldn't be taking my allergy medicine every morning.
Exactly.
That's some 7 and 9 science BS. I'm with Swag. I sneeze 10 plus times all the time and never feel like I,
yes,
myself.
Finish.
Yes.
That is 7 and 9 bull.
Sneezing feels great afterward because you're happy you got the evil out. That might be a real thing for me. Yeah.
Now, you know, you can't open your eyes when you sneeze.
That's actually impossible. You can't try to do it because if you do, your eye will pop out.
Yes.
I remember hearing that in a science lecture once in college. I also found out why we say Gesundheit, God bless you. I never knew why we did that. I always thought that was weird as a kid.
Yeah. Your heart skips a beat.
Well, yeah. But people actually used to do it because they think your soul was leaving your body way back then. Yeah. So it's like, oh, God bless you. I hope you don't go to the dark, scary place. I'm just trying to bring science to the show. I'm sorry. I'm trying to bring education and enlightenment to the show, and you're over here just poo-pooing it. And I don't know if I like that attitude.
That's what I do.
Yeah, but it only is really funny if you're wrong. You know that, right?
Yeah, I know.
It's just like me talking about betting. While I might actually take the time to look at betting trends and this or that, people don't care. They want me to give my picks, so I'm wrong.
What are you spraying the line on this weekend?
Oh, we've got a whole lot.
Yeah.
We got a whole lot to tease.
I'm curious if you've got an over-under on the U.S. women's soccer team, how many goals they're going to get against Chile on Sunday.
Well, women's soccer was one.
That should be on there.
We've got golf. I've got a special for you, and I don't know. Were you here the day I did the John Wick over-under for the weekend release?
Yeah, when Dirt and I we weren't having the John Wick as a good, great movie or franchise or whatever.
Which really still upsets me, not as much as other people that were listening to that.
I am a tough sell when it comes to movies.
But you didn't go as hard in on that as he did. Because what he does is he makes, he has these presumptions about movies.
Yes.
Because I like the Fast and the Furious series. And I've acknowledged, those are good, bad movies. I know that. A guy jumping a car from one building to another in Dubai is never going to happen. But they're still good, bad movies to me. He puts John Wick in that category, and that upsets people because he doesn't watch the movies. Because he, somewhat like you, he doesn't watch a whole lot.
No.
It takes a certain genre to get him into a movie. Whereas a lot of other people would just say, oh, that movie looks kind of cool. I'm going to go see that this weekend.
Yeah, I'm not one for a movie for just to pay to go to a theater for whatever you're having to shell out now for 2.5 hours.
It's almost like being entertained isn't enough for you. That's how I feel about it.
Well, but if I want some sort of mindless entertainment just to zone out or escape or whatever, I don't want to pay that. I can get that anywhere else for free. A lot of times. So for a movie, I want script, dialogue, characters, plot. Those are big for me.
I think you need to watch John Wick then.
Yeah.
I just feel like if you watched the first one, you would actually be surprised of how much you enjoy it. But no, to tease the spraying line, I'll add something similar of that.
Oh, you got another movie thing?
I got another movie thing, yeah.
Okay.
I like doing that. I like playing the over.
Toy Story 4?
No, I don't think that's out yet.
Oh.
I think that's in like 2 or 3 months.
I don't know. I just started seeing. Well, there's that and, is it the Men in Black one that's been intertwined with the NBA Finals to a ridiculous level?
No, but that is out now. It came out last night. It's actually getting slammed in the reviews, but I don't know. One final thought, too, before we get to spraying the line.
On your fake science?
No, the fake science has been answered. It's fake. I mean, come on. I had a hypothesis here, and we figured out that it's not real. I am very glad the NBA is done for these two reasons. I don't have to hear the common AI artificial intelligence commercial anymore, nor do I have to hear the Migos Mountain Dew commercial of, you remember that catchy song that they would do? Do you know what commercial
I must have already tuned it out.
Three guys on the big wheels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I tune that one out. And
yeah, but that stupid song gets stuck in my head.
Oh, yeah.
I'll sing it all the time at my
house.
I'm
better at doing that. Lady Swag will get a song stuck in her head and she can't, like, even that she didn't invite, and then it's stuck, and then she's, like, frustrated for the rest of the afternoon.
The way he says it with the music gets stuck in my head of, like, stepping up. Got the wrist on my, what did he say, the bling on my wrist. Burp, burp, burp. That's a call I can't miss. Just that part right there, always stuck in my damn head. And I stream the games, and I don't know if it's the same on cable as it is the stream, but basically that was the only commercial. Those two commercials were the only ones that I was getting.
Men in Black was huge on TV. Those were all over the place.
Yeah, and
the alien ones. And they switched them up, though, towards the end. Thank goodness it wasn't all that. They had three different ones. So there was
Davis, Paul, Westbrook.
Yeah.
Good thing that those guys don't go far in the playoffs so they could
film
the commercial for them. Yeah. All right, it's time to Sprague the Line. Get your Sprague the Line sponsors at 55305, the Better You Today text line. We've got a few things to Sprague the Line on. We'll do that next on 1080 The Fan.
Sprague the Line.
Sprague the Line.
Sprague the Line.
Sprague the Line.
All right, Sprague the Line brought to you by the Toronto Raptors president. Don't get caught assaulting a police officer after a win. Ensure your innocence with a Sprague pick. No chance to win and no chance at battery. Well, you might get mad because you lost. So then you get a little violent. Yeah. You see how that goes? Sprague and Line brought to you by OSU Science Programs. Obviously useless if Sprague and Swag don't know basic science knowledge. Excuse me. Swag didn't go to Oregon State.
No. I went to the University of Puget Sound.
Did you ever come close to being a Beaver? I mean, you liked them. Or was it just about the scholarship?
It was scholarship. I was looking at business programs, and I had visions of law school back in the day. So
yeah, I know many of people that went to the Oregon State Business School and quit. Spring Line brought to you by the St. Louis Blues. If you start playing Gloria after a Sprague pick, you'll actually make some money. Oh! Well, we'll try this today. I'll give a pick. We'll play the music. We'll see how we go over the weekend. Spring Line brought to you by Rhea. Why haven't you texted me back yet? Wow.
Really?
Holy moly.
What was that?
Do you get that? I can't remember what day. You were out Friday, weren't you?
Yeah. I was getting ready for all the graduation ceremonies.
Yeah. I think Joe might have been in that. Yeah, because we talked pasta. So you know how I like try to book the guests for the ticker?
Yes.
I was shooting some texts. I was calling people. I was flaming out and I wanted somebody from Philly. So I text this journalist for WIP, our sister station over there.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, Rhea, a female reporter. I said, hey, we do a show over here in Portland. We're looking for somebody on the Windsteel, yada, yada, yada. No response. This was probably 1:30 in the afternoon. I get a text from her. And by the way, I've gotten like four or five from different people. They just don't see it.
Right.
And she texts back, said, hey, sorry. I went to the beach today with my son. We're hanging out on the boat. Otherwise, I would have got back to you.
Oh, cool.
I said, thank you for responding. I appreciate that. Maybe we can get you on sometime in the summertime once camp gets going. She then sends me a picture and goes, this is my dock. This is where we like to hang out and just enjoy the weather. I said, okay. Well, I was like, okay, this is kind of an interesting response. So I said, that's cool. Looks like a lot of fun. I'm jealous. Thank you for getting back to me again. That should be it, right? Oh, no. Oh, no. She then texts me again. Yeah, you know, I kept telling him I'd take him, and we finally had some time, and there's nothing I enjoy more than just lounging around out by the water.
I like it.
Well, at that point, the show had found out, and Joe and Dirt basically told me I needed to be texting her back of similar nature, because we're like, is she flirting, or is she just being over nice? What's the deal here? So I sent her a picture of the water from our view, and I said, this is my view, and we're just lounging out having a good time on our Friday show. Well, then she responded again. I responded to that response, and then she sends me another picture, this time of her bar. And she goes, I can make any mean cocktail. just hanging out, having a good time. And then I got to a little bit of an uncomfortable stage because I was, Joe
did
was
you
like,
feel like you're getting fished at that point though, a little bit, maybe a little catfish going on, or
I did swag, but I think she's just overly nice.
Wow.
I don't think it was like a flirtatious thing.
Yeah. It was just like, hey, we're partying. Come on.
She's in Philly though. And she knows I'm in Portland, Oregon. But Joe was basically like the guidance. Joe was our guidance counselor.
That's true.
He was like, you really should stop. You know, you're married. And I was like, yeah, you're making a good point. In case she is actually trying to fish for this, probably not a good look. So I text her back. She then responded again. And then eventually it got to a point where it stopped. But that's what that text is referring to. It was last Friday. Had a back and forth with another media member.
There you go. All right, what do we got?
Okay.
Let's sprague some lines.
We'll read some more sponsors a little bit later on. Let's sprague the line on some soccer, eh?
Yes.
USA versus Chile, and that is on Sunday
morning, 8:30 a.m.
I can't wait for it. I'm looking forward to it. What do we got here? I'm actually going to make my own number. I just looked at their numbers. I don't care about their numbers. Let's have fun with this one. Over under 8 goals scored. Now, before you answer, I know you know this, but for the listeners out there, Chile is supposed to be worse than Thailand.
I will take the under on this.
You're going to take the under on 8.
Now that, yeah, once, now you're into World Cup mode. You're there, you're comfortable, you're settling in. They had the opportunity to review the film and what they did to Thailand. So I think Chile will, you'll see them pull probably everybody back, not wanting to suffer the same fate. So they'll have 10 players behind the ball and then maybe just try and figure out who their best player is and catch him over the top.
So just don't get embarrassed is basically the plan.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I'll say 4 or 5 you're looking at, but no, I don't think we get over 8.
I think I'm going to take the over because I don't think USA appreciated the comments and backlash.
Oh, you think they're looking to double down now?
I think it pissed them off. And I watched Alex Morgan's interview with Julie Foudy the next day, and she had no remorse. She said it's actually unsportsmanlike to stop trying.
Yeah.
And I'm in agreement with her. I want them to trounce everybody, and I have no shame. So I'm actually going to take the over. I think they get 10.
Wow.
Not 13, but they'll get 10.
That would be remarkable.
It would be remarkable. Alex Morgan getting 5 again. Has that ever happened in a World Cup match? Back-to-back 5-goal games?
No.
Willing to wager that's never happened in either men or women's, right?
No.
Yeah. All right. So we think they're going to win too, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yes. That's really not much in doubt.
Okay. And then I want to go to this one. There's some baseball brewing here.
What
and
you got?
I'm going selfish. My Bravos have won 7 in a row.
Yeah, they're swinging it.
And I believe they've won 23 of 31 games. They are on fire and fuego. All they're doing is hitting home runs. They're playing great baseball. They're taking on Philly. This is going to be a big series this weekend. I'm going to catch at least 2 of these games.
Mm.
And they are favorites tonight. So I wanted to get your thoughts on if they're going to win.
Where's the series?
It's in Atlanta.
Okay. Who's going? Who's pitching? When's Keuchel coming up to pitch?
Yeah, Keuchel's going to give a couple runs in the lower ball level and then come
didn't
up.
He throw like 7 scoreless in his first outing at double or triple A?
I think he's doing 1 more start or 2 more starts, and then they're going to bring him all the way up. It is going to be, where is that? Oh, Nick Pivetta versus Max Fried.
I like your Braves.
Me too.
Yeah.
Really not much to dive into on that one.
No.
Sorry.
No, we got my Dodgers and Cubs.
Okay, we can do
big
that.
Big one at Chavez Ravine.
Yep.
They
a battle of first place.
Exactly.
I'm going to take your Dodgers.
We'll wait and see.
I really like your team. They frighten me, but your pitching staff kind of sucks.
The starters have been unbelievable last month.
But
their bullpen just makes me cringe every time they go. The Joe Kelly experiment needs to end. I don't know why they can't send him back to Oklahoma City, cut him. Whatever. I know they spent a lot of money in the offseason. It's not working.
Yeah.
It's just not working.
And that's been your big problem in the World Series, too.
Yeah, getting from the 6th inning to the 9th.
Yeah.
And then you bring Kenley Jansen in for multiple outs, and you burn him up, and then he doesn't have it. So fortunately, they got hot. Bellinger had 2 more home runs last night after Kershaw had a rough start, but he settled down. They got a 7-3 win. All 7 runs scored via the home run.
Are the Twins going to win the World Series?
I don't know. That'd be a great story.
the Twins, that would kind of follow in the line with the St. Louis Blues and the Toronto Raptors. It's been what, since Kirby 91. Puckett in the 90s when they when they won one. So I think that would inject a little bit of a fun into the playoffs. As a, I mean, you're looking at the Astros,
if they
the
keep
Yankees,
this up,
the Dodgers, the Cubs. So unless you're a fan of one of those teams, you're like, okay, the where's the excitement? Where's the drama in it? Might be great baseball being played, right, but we need a little flavor from somewhere else.
If they keep this up, we may have to play the fun game in August of can you name five players on the best team in baseball's team?
Well, you can name, you should know Nelson Cruz.
Sure.
Who's got life after the Mariners.
Okay.
You have Jake.
How many people knew Nelson Cruz went to Minnesota?
I don't know.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I respect Minnesota. I think they're a great feel-good story. And I think because of the Little Big League movie, I've always just kind of been a semi-supporter of the Twinkies. But I don't know how many people are watching Twins games nor know anything about the Twins. So we may have to play that game in August.
Well, hopefully in August, hopefully ESPN will get them on a Sunday night game or something here in the summer when more people are watching that. There's not as many other options distracting you, especially on a Sunday night. Get it out to Target Field.
Yeah, and then more chainsaw. Actually, Brewers in first place. Go Brew Crew. Apologies on that. They've just passed the Cubbies, huh? It's baseball.
Well, maybe
is weird.
After the loss last night.
Well, baseball is weird for me, and I know I'm way different from a lot of people on this. I really only follow my team, and then I check on the division standings for the East.
I think that's usually how most people. I mean, Dirt, you know, even with the Giants, I'm mostly watching Dodger games, and then if there's no major sporting event going on,
right,
and there's a game on ESPN or the MLB Network, you'll kind of, if you're just looking to lounge a little bit. Well, it's like, oh, okay, let me check these guys out.
Let's try this. According to one listener, when we play Gloria after a pick, it means it's actually going to happen. The Braves are going to win the World Series. Oh.
Well, we'll see.
Do we talk about if we just jinxed that by double playing it? Probably did. Okay, and then the final one, because we're against it here.
Yeah, what's your movie one?
Shaft comes out.
Ah,
another Shaft with Samuel L. Jackson. John Singleton, RIP, didn't get to make this one. Over under $15 million at the box office for Shaft.
That doesn't seem like that. I would say over. It doesn't
a lot
seem
of people
like
don't
that
go to
much.
Movies anymore. Okay, 25.
Under. It's yeah. Father's Day weekend, so I don't know. I don't know if that's a movie you're taking dad to see.
Yeah, that well.
Maybe.
Unless he's a bad mother, shut your mouth.
No, I don't know.
And you don't know.
Just glad to see Richard Roundtree's in it too, the original Shaft.
Yes, a little shout out to him. Okay, we got a lot more to get to, wrapping it up and then going into the weekend. Next on The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Fist pumping into the weekend. Didn't spray the line on the U.S. Open. We can give an update on that. Justin Rose sits atop the leaderboard at 7-under. Louis Wu stays in at 6-under.
Scott Piercy just got it to 6-under.
I don't want to spend too much time on this. Yesterday, I saw Scott Piercy was leading at 5-under. And me and friend of the show, Kyle Knepper, presumed to go, who the hell is Piercy? Can you say his first name? And Dirk goes, Scott Piercy's a well-known golf name.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't disagree more. I watch all the major championships. I'll occasionally tune in to some of the Tiger tournaments. I've never once heard the name Scott Piercy in my life.
You're not paying attention.
I disagree.
Yeah.
What'd you say? Okay, we got a lot more to get to here in just 12 minutes, and then Primetime's going to hop on, obviously, at 3 o'clock, getting ready for the weekend with those guys. Is the dynasty over? Golden State loses. They win 3 of 5 championships. They lose to KD. By all reports, sounds like he's gone. At least he's out for the year, so it really doesn't matter where he goes. Klay Thompson, probably out for most of next year with an ACL. West wide open. Is the dynasty done?
Yeah.
So when I say that, my thinking on that is Spurs more so than Bulls. And what I mean by that is 6-8 is obviously a historic run, whereas the Spurs really went from 99 to 2014-15-ish of winning, getting close, winning, getting close, etc. So I will say that's what I mean by dynasty.
Okay. I don't know if you can say that yet. One is because I don't know. You've said you don't think the injury to KD is going to affect if he gets a max and goes somewhere else.
I think the Knicks are giving him a max. I think four other teams would give him a max. You just sacrifice 1 year.
Now, the injury to Clay, I think, puts what his options will be. So is he a total free agent or does he have an option?
He's unrestricted.
He's unrestricted. He is free to go anywhere else.
And while he's always been thrown into that group of free agents, I don't understand why, because I think it's been pretty abundantly clear from him and management that he wants to be in Golden State. The Splash Brothers things means a lot to him. I think he loves his house in Oakland overlooking the entire Bay landscape. I talked to Buck, who lived down there and worked for NBC Sports in the Bay. He said he knew people that Clay just lives an amazing life. Clay Thompson's life is perfect, and I don't think he wants to disrupt that. I think Clay Thompson's getting the max from Golden State, even though they know missing 1 year and paying him as much as they need to is going to be a part of that deal. But Myers came out today and said he will never forget what it meant to him to watch Clay go run out there and shoot free throws with a torn ACL. And Joe Lacob, the part owner of the Warriors, also had a quote yesterday, and he can't comment on who they want to sign and whatnot because of restrictions. But he was asked about Clay, and he basically said, we don't respect anybody more than Clay Thompson, and we love having Clay Thompson in a Golden State Warriors uniform. I think despite the ACL, ACLs are getting to a point where the timeline's not quite as extended as it once was.
What is it, 6 to 9 months on average?
About, and then guys are even coming back now. I mean, Adrian Peterson did this in the NFL. You see other guys do this in basketball. It sucks because of how long you're out. It's getting to a point more and more with the ACL where it feels like guys are figuring out ways to still play at high elite levels. And so even though it sucks to not see him next year, I think Golden State's going to sign him to the max. I think they may offer it to KD, but I don't think they realistically want to do it. I think it's done. I really think he's going to the Knicks. But overall, I would still answer this question as no. I do not think their dynasty is over. I think that would be foolish to state because they still have Steph Curry. They'll still have Klay Thompson at some point. Draymond, while his game might not produce much offensively from scoring, still can do a lot from the assist rebound category. He had, 17 assists last night? He had a Dennis Rodman-like game. So I still think they're going to be one of the powers in the West.
We'll see. They're going to have to, and with Clay's injury next year, they're way over the salary cap. I don't know how quickly they can reload. They have shown the ability to find talent down in the bottom half of the first round of the draft. So we'll see what might be down there this year for them. But I don't know where the next, how long they've got to wait to be a big player in the free agent market.
Well, I hate to say this because last time this came out, it ended up being true. There was already a report a year ago that they're already aiming to look at Giannis. That's their kind of next big Kevin Durant prize is Giannis. And remember, Giannis didn't get the max from Milwaukee when he signed that extension. And there was some, scuttlebutt that kind of is sticking with them maybe a little bit. Obviously, this can be so year to year. And if they win the championship in Milwaukee next year, I think it's going to be a moot point. But, I mean, yeah, they're already aiming to go get Giannis. And look, they're really well run. This was not a good medical year for them. They're dealing with backlash in that regard. But for the most part, they're still one of the better coach teams in the league. They're still one of the better run organizations in the league. Their GM is one of the more beloved GMs in the league. As much as I might want it because they're so damn good, I can't buy that they're realistically, this dynasty is completely done.
Yeah, we'll see. I still think how the injury with Clay affects what they do with a contract for him and how much they've got left to play. There might be a longer gap between them getting back.
I'll give you their salary now. If they sign Clay to the max, that's 30 plus million. You signed Steph. He's at 35 to 40. And you give Draymond his contract in another year close to the max. That's going to be, 28 to 30?
Yeah.
There's your salary cap.
Yep.
The salary cap's going to be at 110. You're at 99, 100. Pretty hard to do a lot with that. But we'll see. All right. Fun show today. If you miss Mitch Canham, we had him on at 1:45, the new, or no, at 2 o'clock. The new coach of Oregon State Baseball. Catch it at the Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. We've got some people that are going to sit in next week. Dirt won't be back till Monday. Thursday's going to be a big NBA draft show for us. Me and Swag will nerd out. And we got some other things kind of in the hopper brewing. And going to be a good show next Monday, Tuesday, etc. Going to be a lot of fun. Enjoy the week and happy Father's Day to everybody out there. It's really only about the moms, though. So still do something for the old lady. Enjoy the weekend. Enjoy the weather. Talk to you on Monday at noon. Primetime next on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.